And I want to begin reading with verse 25. The backdrop for this passage is that God is bringing the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and he has already brought four plagues upon them. He's turned the water into blood. He's called frogs, lice, and flies to cover the land. And Pharaoh is being resistant to God in letting the children of Israel go. And this is a type, the children of Israel leaving Egypt is a type of you leaving the bondage of the sin nature. How many know when you got saved, you really got saved, but you weren't perfect that day? There's a process of sanctification, little by little thing. There's a big change when you get saved, and then you, little by little things, the Holy Spirit takes out of your life. Well, this passage speaks to that. It says in verse 25, the Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, you can go sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the land, to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to our Lord, to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh, a type of the devil, said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far. Entreat for me. I will let you serve God, only you shall not go very far away. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the word of God this morning. I thank you for the invigoration that I feel moving into this new year, Lord, a mindset, a heartbeat to press into the kingdom more than ever before. I ask you this morning by virtue of your Holy Spirit that you would lay in the hearts, deep within the hearts of your people, a mindset, oh God, to press in as never before. Lord, I ask you that you'd bless the offering this morning, that you touch every saint, every family that gives in furtherance of the kingdom, bestow it back upon them in the way they need it the most. Father, we pray it all in Jesus' name, thanking you for it. Amen and amen. Again, the Pharaoh is a type of the devil. And under the pressure of the four plagues that God had already brought upon Egypt, he agreed with Moses, I will let you go serve God. I will let you go worship, but make sure you don't go too far. Many times the devil deals with Christians in this same way. He may not use those words, but what he imposes upon our lives, be it words or thoughts, it lets us know you go to a certain point and then don't go further than that. I cannot tell you how many times over 40 years of walking with God I've heard from this person or that person, it doesn't take all that. You ever heard that? It don't take all that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it takes every bit of what you and I can live. If the righteous do scarcely enter in, where does the half-stepper stand? Where does the backslider stand? Where does the ungodly stand? And so keeping in mind this morning, this temptation from Pharaoh to Moses and Aaron is very much what you and I will hear from time to time from the powers of darkness. Go ahead and you can go to church, but don't get too wild with it. Because you can worship, but don't worship in spirit and truth. Come on, you can give God your chump change, but don't really support the expansion of the kingdom. Satan does this to all of us. If you don't know that Satan from time to time tries to do this to you, you're not paying attention to your life. He did the same thing to Jesus Christ. And if you know he did it to the master, you know he's going to do it to you. He told Jesus, he took Jesus to a high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of this world and the power of them. And he said, all these things will I give you if you just fall down and worship me. Now, what he's saying is he knew ultimately Jesus is the king of the world anyway. But he was saying, you don't have to go all the way to the cross. You can compromise here and I'll give you all of it. And listen, that's what Satan tries to get all of us to do, is to compromise on our salvation. It's a little quiet in here. But let me tell you what, this is why Christians have almost no prayer life. We've compromised with Satan. Prayer is a staple. Church attendance is a staple. Supporting the kingdom of God, it is a staple in the Christian experience. It's not far gone stuff out in left field. It's normal Christianity that every Christian should be involved in. Now, I want to share those 3 points as time allows this morning: church attendance, worship, and giving to the kingdom. And I want to do so with the urging you to not allow Satan to convince you not to go very far. Go as far as you can go. Go as deep into God as you can get. I was here this morning at 4:30, walking the floor praying, as is my custom. Realizing that mostly every other Christian within this geographical region was still snuggled in their comforter with their warm pillow. That don't faze me at all. I'm walking the floor telling God, Lord, I've got to get closer to you. I've got to be more sincere in what I'm doing. I've got to have a deeper walk with you. I'm not satisfied. Someone say, well, Pastor Lincoln, you're at the head of the pack. Well, maybe not, but if I was, I'm not satisfied at the head of the pack. I want to walk with him. We find in the book of Numbers, we'll deal with church attendance first. When you're not in church on Sunday morning, you need to ask yourself, what has caught your attention? What is your excuse? Now, maybe you have a good one every now and again, but when you're only making one service in a month, something's wrong with your walk in Christ. He doesn't hold the priority that he needs to hold. It's kind of quiet. I'm old school. This is old school. Just 30 years ago, on Sunday morning, every saint came to every service every week. But in 30 years, this country has so badly backslidden. Until our excuses have exceeded our zeal for God. I don't want to sound like I'm fussing this morning, but I do want to make a certain sound. In the book of Numbers, we find a type of what we do now as it regards our walk with God. Numbers chapter 14, beginning with verse 2, it says, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath God brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Now, when a person gets saved, there is every time a mighty move of God in their life. There is a point in their life they can say, that's what happened right there. My life changed. And the Israelites, much like this, they were in the very presence of God. The tabernacle had already been built, which was the main place of worship while they were in the wilderness. Every single day, there was a pillar of fire that hung above their head. A pillar of smoke. Every night there was a pillar of fire. They were always in the presence of God. Just as people come to church now, come week over week over week, they come into the church building, but their hearts are in Egypt. Just as they were saying, we want to go back to Egypt. Let's make us a captain. We're going back to Egypt. Their hearts were somewhere else. And week over week, we come to church, but our minds are not on the things of God. We're thinking about what we got to do on Monday and what we have done on Friday. And our minds are all over the place, and we never enter into his presence. See, this building is just a building. There's no magic in walking through the doors of this building. It does. You can walk through the doors of Tom Thumb and get the same thing. You have to enter into his presence. And here's how you do that, just very quickly. During the worship service, that's why we have worship. You just drop your pride, begin to lift your hands to heaven, close your eyes, and just begin to think of all the good things that God has done for you. And little by little, you'll feel it begin to boil up in you. You'll feel it as you thought about that thing, now think about that thing. Now go way back, think about that thing, and just think about all of the things, and it starts bubbling up inside. And pretty soon, you're not having to try to make yourself worship. You're in a stance of thanksgiving to the Lord for everything that he's done. So it's not just coming into the building. You should come into the building because there's an atmosphere here. But once you come into the building, come into his presence. It's church attendance. That's your first resolution for 2025. Don't let the devil tell you it don't take all that. It does take all that. That's why you're struggling with sin. It's because you're not committed enough to the things of God. Now, don't get me wrong. There's no degree of commitment that takes away sanctification. You're still going to have to work through some issues in your life. But you come into the house of God, you get spiritual strength so that you can stand and withstand against all the wiles of the devil. And if you have a failure, you know, my God still loves me. He still loves me, and I'm going to press in. The second point that I wish to cover is worship. In the book of 2 Kings, a fellow by the name of Naaman, he had been miraculously cleansed from leprosy by the prophet, rather by the Lord through the prophet. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burdened of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto any other god, but unto the Lord." That's a good start, isn't it? Well, when you make up your mind, I'm only going to worship God. I'm only going to offer to God. In this thing, he goes on to say, in this thing, let the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship, Rimmon was a false god, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. In other words, he's saying, I'm going all the way with God, except when I'm in the idol house, I'm still going to bow down. Because that's where I work. See, that's my master. I bow down. He leans on my arm and I help him to bow down. You know what that's equivalent to? That's equivalent to somebody working in the liquor store and getting saved and saying, I thank God for being saved, but I'm still going to sell this poison. I'm still going to destroy lives and families with this poison that I sell. And what it is Satan helps us. He tempts us to compromise in our minds where we say, it doesn't take all that. If I'm just here, I'm good enough. He said, give me 2 mules burden of earth. What he wanted was 2 bags of dirt to take back to where he was. He wasn't in Israel. He wanted some of that good Israel dirt to take back to his place, to put it into his prayer closet. Some Israel dirt. Well, you should have just moved to Israel, brother. If your life's been changed, if the power of God has touched you, if Jesus is now your master, you should be where he's at. Coming up, even before I was a pastor, whenever me and my wife were going to change apartments back in those days, or when we were going to buy a house, we always bought a house close to our church. And then after becoming a pastor, our house, we built it. It's just right down the way. Because the work of God is not a peripheral matter in our life. It's the center of our life. It is everything. See, Jesus is not something I added to my agenda. My agenda was given to Jesus and he rewrote it for me. Praise God. And so what am I saying? This year, 2025, don't let Satan continue to tell you, don't go too far. You need to go all the way. as far as you can go, as deep as you can go. Listen, when you're trying to go as deep as you can go in God, there's enough resistance. But when you ain't even trying, you shall not make no ground. So he said, let the Lord pardon me. When I bow down myself in the house of the false idol, it's like somebody working in the, being a bartender. You know, I get paid a lot of money. Thank God for being saved, but I'm still going to serve up these drinks. Like somebody that's a stripper that gets saved. Thank God for salvation, but I'm still going to twerk all over the bar. At some point, you got to make a full commitment to God. At some point, you got to forget those things that are behind you and reach forth and press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You can't always be in a compromised situation. There are times you're going to have to push in. The Bible said that the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. You got to take this from the devil. Yes, you got saved. Yes, you're not going to hell, but that doesn't mean that your life is not now uncompromised. You got to take it all back from the devil. If you don't, you'll end up on the rolls of the backslider. Because Satan moves very slow. He's not in no rush, but he's watching you. And you make a compromise here, and it seems like nothing happened. Seemed like it was all well. Samson, he was a servant of God. He was a Nazarene. He was a judge of Israel. I believe it was for 20 years he was the judge of Israel. But he liked going hanging out with harlots. I'm not making this up. This is in your Bible. And he'd go hang out with harlots, and then he'd come back and no doubt repent, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. But when the Philistines, he would shake himself, and the power of God would come upon him, and he would do miraculous things with his physical strength. Satan just let him keep going, little by little, over the course of 20 years. And one day he woke up with that woman, Delilah. She had smoothed that brother to sleep. Samson, lay your head right here in mama's lap. Let me just stroke your hair. Them long locks of hair, let me just caress your head. And Samson, eyes fluttering. She said, where does your power lie? And he told her. And when he woke up, his hair was gone. And he was bound by the Philistines. But before they bound him, he shook himself one more time. And the scripture says he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Ichabod. It was gone. And the Philistines, they plucked out his eyes. He lost his vision. They bound him up. He lost his liberty. But more than anything else, he lost his ministry before the Lord. Just a little compromise at a time. You remember the Three Stooges? For those of us that are that old, slowly I turned, step by step, inch by inch, until you're no longer headed in the direction you used to be. You're now going in the other direction. Listen, I'm an ex-backslider. I know how this thing works. Little by little, all of a sudden the conviction's gone. Yeah, I did it, and I repented, and I'm going to do it again sometime. I can always repent, and you can. But what sin does is it wears down your faith, and you stand by faith. You don't stand by intellectual knowledge. You stand by heartfelt faith. So the second point then, number one is your church attendance. Number two is true worship. Truly, listen, worship is not just the musical instruments playing and you lift your hands. That's not what, that is worship, but worship is your life. You're worshiping with your whole life. with everything that you think, everything that you do, every conversation with your spouse, everything you do with your children and your grandchildren, all of it is worship because you put God first in everything that you do. That's what worship is. And then finally, in your financial giving. Another quick story of those that compromised with the devil. They listened to him when he said, don't go very far. And we've got some good givers in this ministry. And I want to say, I appreciate every last one of you. I thank God for you. But we have others that have just not learned that God will bless your life. It may not be with material money. It's not a lottery where you give some money and get money back. It's a process where you show God that you have put your trust in Him. And then when you need God, He shows His faithfulness in your life. It can be in many different areas. The book of Acts chapter 5, verse 1 says, but there was a certain man by the name of Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. They sold the possession. And the backdrop is that all the saints were selling their possession. It was extreme persecution. People were being thrown out of the synagogue, which means you were being thrown out of society, really. Your children couldn't go to school. You couldn't rent an apartment. Everything was gone. And so the saints got together. If they had possessions, they would sell possessions for themselves and to take care of the other saints. They kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. And he brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet as everyone else was doing. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now, there's been a lot of misrepresentation of this scripture. But the idea here is that others were selling everything and laying the revenue at the apostles' feet, who were honest, godly men. And they were making distribution to take care of everyone, that not themselves. They were taking care of all of the widows and everyone that had been thrown out of society. But so they came and they laid down a portion of it, maybe half, maybe 70%, some portion of it. And they kept the rest, showing publicly as though they were doing everything everybody else was doing, when in fact they had listened to Satan when he said, it don't take all that. God didn't want their money. He didn't want their money. He wanted their hearts. God don't want your money. He wants your heart. I want your money because we have a ministry and we're trying to reach more souls for Jesus Christ. But God said, all the gold is mine. All the silver is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to God. All the grapes in Florida, the oranges in Florida, they all belong to God. There is nothing, nothing, including the breath in our lungs, that does not belong to God. I love to show God, Lord, I trust you. My wife and I have always tithed from way back in the day. And that's wonderful. But there are times I just like to tell God, Lord, there's my checkbook. You write the check. Tell me what you want. And don't do this unless you're serious. Because God will test you. Remember how he tested Abraham? He'll test you on this. And he'll give you a number. And just close your eyes. Write that number. Because that's how you build up faith. That's how you find out where you stand with God. See, you and I, we struggle over a piece of paper writing a check. He said, Abraham, I want your son, your firstborn son. I want him. And I don't just want him. I want you to take him to Moriah and cut his throat. And God was serious to see if Abraham really trusted him. Since you and I, we're not going far enough. And those three areas, our church attendance, our worship, and our giving to God, you're going to where you're going, but it's not far enough. I'm speaking to myself as well. And in 2025, I've got a set of resolutions. I want to go further with God. I want to go deeper. I want to exhibit radical faith in the things of God. Amen. So on your New Year's resolutions, if you didn't have one, you have three now. Put those in your phone. Put those on a sheet of paper. Those are now your resolutions. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Holy Father, I thank you. Oh, how great you are. How long-suffering you are with your children. Lord, when we fall short, when we lose strength, when we have feeble knees, oh God, you suffer long with your people. And you call us again and again back to repentance, back to the rigors, to a real walk with you. Lord, as you told Abraham, you commanded him to walk before you and be perfect. Help us today, Lord, in these resolutions, God, to walk before you and to be perfect, to do those things, these staples in Christianity, that we might press in on them. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet this morning if you're able? I don't know where you are, but wherever you are, I know there's room that you can advance in on God, that you can draw closer. And he's given you this promise that if you will draw nigh unto me, he said, I will draw nigh unto you. And so this morning, let's just lift up our hands, close our eyes, and begin to ask God, Father, draw me. Draw me in your love, God. Lord, I'm not satisfied with where I'm walking. I want a deeper walk with you. I want a deeper prayer life. I want a more consistent church attendance. I want to more consistently give to the expansion of the kingdom of God. Come on, just reach out and say, God, I want to do more. I want to be closer. He hears your prayer. He hears your prayer. Just speak to the Lord this morning.
Lord, we need you, Father. We cannot walk, talk, and run this race without you, Lord. We need you, Father, to strengthen us spiritually. Give us a heart and a desire, a thirst for you, Lord, like never before. Your word says that those that thirst have a thirst and a hunger for righteousness, God, those are the ones that will be filled. And we want to be filled this morning. We want a refilling, God, of your Holy Spirit, a touch that only can come from you, Lord. Help us, Father, to surrender ourselves totally and fully to you, Lord, so that we can grow in our church attendance, grow in our giving, Lord God, and grow in our worship, Lord, so that we can become more like Jesus. That is the goal. We thank you in advance, Father, for what you're going to do through us in this year. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning. Thank you for being here and also watching online. Just a few announcements before we dismiss. If you haven't had an opportunity to give, we do need your support, so please do so. A very special thank you to all of you who were able to work or volunteer in support of our first worship 2025. It was a blessed time in the Lord. I really enjoyed it, and I hope if you came, you did too. And also a reminder that we will have a laity service this Wednesday on January 8th. So if you are able, please come out and support our laity speakers. And then also next Wednesday, we'll resume our Bible class in Revelation. So thank you once again for coming. God bless you. Have a blessed week. You are dismissed.